This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there are a chosen few that will stand against the vampires, the demons, and the forces of darkness. These are the voyages of the crew of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
And welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. And thanks again to Kurt from Transpositions and the gang. And that's another great show here on Joy 94.9. There's no question mark there, actually. Now, tonight is October the 14th, 2014. And of course, here on Sci-Fi and Scream, we're talking about, Halloween Jack. What's that all about? Welcome to our third episode of Halloween. We do like Halloween, obviously, quite a bit. And that's why we're continuing the vibe of Halloween. But also tonight we have got the return of Dillstick. Dylan Adler is back in the studio.
Yeah, I most certainly am. Tonight I'll be talking about Alien Isolation from the Creative Assembly, and it was published on Sega. Multi-platform game. That'll be coming up later on.
Cool.
Before the show, Sonia was showing photos of the David Bowie spider.
Yes.
And it is still very much etched into my eyeballs.
It's a gorgeous little creature. A very gorgeous little creature.
No, it's not. She told me it spits. A spider should not spit.
Well, it only spits if it likes you. You know, like it's a venomous type of... It's called the Heteropoda David Bowie. That's one word, David Bowie. It's distinguished by its large size and yellow hair, and it's only found in parts of Malaysia where David Bowie doesn't live. So that's interesting. But... it was selected for the honour because of his musical contribution to the arachnid world, with obviously the rise and fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars in 1972. So
right.
I think, yeah, we'll have a bit more Bowie bit later. You probably can hear the instrumental of Fame in the background. And of course, if you know anything about Bowie, the chameleon himself, Fame was, he was the first white person, white singer, to sing on a Soul Train, actually, in the US back in about 77 or 78. So if people know more about Bowie than me, let us know. You can SMS us on 0427 Joy94. You can phone Roberto on 1300 Joy949. Yes. And how can you email?
onair@joy.org.au. And I'd especially love to hear from you if you played Alien Isolation. I'd like to know how you vibed on that game, because I got one of my prized possessions at Armageddon last year.
Oh.
My gunblade from my Final Fantasy VIII memorabilia.
When we did Queer Geeks of Oz. I think
I we were talking to somebody like shortly beforehand. They were like talking to the panel and they're like, oh, what's happening? And I was like, get out of my way, there's a gunblade. And I had to
get all kind of weird and nerdy.
I did. And it was a great idea, like going into the city with minus the gunblade and then purchasing Squall's iconic main weapon. And then I realized I caught the train to Armageddon. I'm going to have to catch the train back with a gunblade.
That was okay. Look, that was in 2013. Things are different now.
Well, I tell you what, Sonia.
Yeah,
I got the whole seat to myself on that train ride.
Oh, how awesome is that?
I know, right? All I needed was
It wasn't the showgrounds train, obviously.
No.
That was just full of cos up to the earfuls of cosplayers and so on. So, yes, look, if you want to win that prize, let us know. And you can get close to international TV, movie, animation, comic stars, collectibles, all sorts of things going on, sci-fi and exhibitors, music, anime, cosplaying, as we mentioned, gaming, blah, blah. Awesome. Plus the first ever Geek Girl Speak, all female panel celebrating women in pop culture. And that's hosted by myself from Sci-Fi and Scream. Joy 94.9, of course. Happy to support us there. And basically, that'll be on Saturday, though, at 1:30. Not Sunday, but this is a Sunday pass. So I suggest what you do is you go into the draw for this, and then, of course, you be really cheeky and buy yourself a ticket for Saturday as well. Have two whole days. Come and see us at 1:30 at the fan stage, which I believe is stage 3, for all the fan boys and girls and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back on Sunday with your free pass. Why not?
Do it.
Sounds good.
Do it. Mm. That's such a good idea, Sonia.
I know. You're I thought of it myself.
Oh, look at you go.
I know. Now, we also have got a fabulous lady coming in to talk to us about Halloween, talk about the horror film club that's on at Swinburne. And what do they get up to? What do these Swinburnians do? I know they do a lot of interesting stuff in between study, anyway.
Yeah. Well, do you know, Halloween is like my favourite time of year.
Oh, it should be everyone's.
I think I'm not the only person here who grew up with Tim Burton's amazing Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, which is really about Halloween, obviously.
Absolutely.
Jack the Pumpkin Man, yes.
And I remember, like, when I was a little boy, and, like, my niece, because her and I are only 4 years apart in age, my oldest niece, and we would always be like, oh, Jack and Sally, you know, actually, it's kind of gross and incestuous now that I think about it, but at the time, it was innocent.
Oh, I like The Corpse Bride. That's probably one of my favourites. And Coraline, which I know isn't Tim Burton.
Coraline scared the bejubles out of me.
It's amazing. It's based on the Neil Gaiman, of course. And
we've got
some news about something called The Sandman a bit later. It's going to be a bit controversial, but that's what goes on Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. So please hang around. Don't forget to go into the draw, and we'll be talking about David Bowie, Halloween, horror films, and of course Dylan with video games only here on Joy 94.9.
Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94. Is there a dot in there?
Yes, just point.
94.9. Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, stuntman, actor, director, lover, friend, confidant, shoulder to cry on. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
And this is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Of course, that is Bowie, Moon Age Daydream, and that's from the... Oh, I wonder what album that's from. Something to do with spiders coming down from Mars. Fantastic album. So iconic. Iconic. And here we have in the studio on Sci-Fi and Squeam, we've got a special guest. We've got Savannah Koerner. Welcome to the show.
Hi,
indeed.
Good to be here.
Yeah, that's cool. And you're from the, what is it called?
The Horror Film Club. From Swinburne, yeah.
Swinburne, awesome. And so tell us, I mean, you've just come fresh from a horrific time, a horrific film, I should say.
Yes. Yeah? Yes, we were showing The Silent Hills tonight.
Oh, okay.
The Silent Hill 1 and Silent Hill 2 Revelations.
Oh, I haven't seen the second one.
It's pretty good, yeah. Mm. I really enjoyed it.
Because the second one, they tried to definitely bring it more into the game for because the first one was a lot more of like, here are just all these different plot lines from the games, whereas the third one, they really stretched harder to bring like an actual character from the third game, I'm pretty sure. I still have yet to see the second one. How did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I haven't played any of the games, unfortunately. I don't have like the right computer things, yeah. But
computer farms.
computer things. But I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching the film, and the characters were the same, so you got to connect with the characters a lot more, and that was nice to just see the continuation.
Rad.
Oh, cool. Now, tell us about how old is the actual club?
It's only about 4 months old.
Two to four months old.
It's very brand new. We just started it this year. I'm only in first year, and me and a few friends were like, we all really like horror movies, so why don't we just get a club started at the uni? And we've heard of other clubs being started, so we thought, why not?
Mm. And have you had any, I mean, what's the response been like? I mean, were people cool about that and open to the idea of...
Yeah, definitely. We have quite a few members. When I say quite a few, we probably only have about 23 to 25 or so, but that's quite a few. Yeah, for a few months.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So, you know, you've been watching, what's been the highlights of some of the films?
Well, this is our third night that we've had. We watched the Evil Dead series the first night, all three, which was bit of a letdown because we did have a poll on our Facebook page, and people said they wanted to watch Evil Dead, so we screened all three Evil Deads. But by the second one, there was a lot of laughter.
It should be a musical, I reckon.
I love the Evil Dead series. Yeah. I mean, the amount of cheese that goes into it, it's just delicious.
And the new one, the reboot, remake, reinvention?
Yeah, we didn't show that, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I didn't really enjoy it. I really like the old one with Bruce Campbell.
Mm. Yeah, that's the man. Groovy. The man with the chin.
Yes.
What a chin he has. Mm-hmm.
They're meant to be making an Army of Darkness too.
Oh, wow.
And Bruce Campbell's meant to be making a return.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. He's supposed to be coming here, but we'll see what happens as far as coming to Australia. That'd be groovy. That would be cool.
Sorry, I saw that groovy right now.
Groovy? It must be the David Bowie on you. I think we've got the David Bowie happening here in the studio. Now, Savannah, for yourself, I mean, this is the month of Halloween. Are you guys planning anything big for that?
Oh, no. We decided that we wouldn't show a film on Halloween just because there's so much other stuff that's happening.
There is.
There's so many parties.
I know. This year especially, I'm just looking at so many things. There's the Meerkat. There's a Halloween one there. There's a zombie Halloween party. There's Cherry Bites doing something at the number 86. I mean, and we had Cherry on last week, I think. If I remember rightly, or was it the week before? Time flies through the month of October. It's just been, you know, All Hallows Eve every Tuesday, pretty much, on Sci-Fi and Screen. Yeah. Cool. Now, Savannah, if you were to recommend something for Halloween, as far as films go, and that type of thing, what would you recommend people to get scared?
I found the Grave Encounters series to be pretty scary.
Okay.
Yes, I've only seen the first one, and that bit where they like walk through and they're like, is that a tongue? And then the camera pans up and that thing is on the roof. I screamed, like, and I'm not really, actually, no, that's a lie. Sorry.
You scream all the time like Dylan does.
But no, that movie, I thought I was going to poo.
The second one's scarier.
Are you serious?
So this is a series of how many films?
There's only two at the moment.
Okay.
Hopefully they're making a third or something.
I need to text my housemate.
Right. Are there anything like Ginger Snaps? I love the Ginger Snaps series. No?
Are they? Have you seen the Ginger
Snaps? I haven't seen the Ginger Snaps, no.
No. Check those out. Yeah. All right. So is this going to scare people? Do you think it's worth
it? I hope so. It scared me and I don't want to be alone. So.
Oh, cool. All right. Now, what are you guys planning to do then for Halloween? I mean, you're not going to come together to show your films, but do you have anything that you do especially for Halloween?
My Halloween this year won't add up to last year's Halloween. I spent it in America, so.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that was pretty fun.
Did you trick-or-treat?
We went to a trunk-or-treat, which is it was in a church car park and people had all their trunks open. And it's a lot safer for little kids and stuff. Yeah.
What were they doing, putting in the trunk? People?
There was lollies.
Oh, my goodness.
Get in the van.
Yeah.
It's like, good fellas, what, you know? That body in the trunk. Okay, so they were displaying their different, pumpkins or?
No, it was just lollies. Some of their cars were decorated with, like, cobwebs and, like, skeleton hands and stuff like that, which is pretty cool. But it was, like, I was with 2 4-year-olds, so it was more for them. But it was pretty cool.
For the children. Let's hear it for the children. Excellent.
Yeah. I'd love to. Oh, sorry, Sonia. No, I just have a quick question. Because you seem, obviously, the horror film club. You're a horror film aficionado. What are some horror films that, because there's a lot that are coming out, you know, especially coming into Halloween season. There's a lot of, I felt the past couple of years has been a lot of lackluster horror films. Are there any on the tip of your tongue that you would just like, avoid that film or avoid that, I guess, that style of horror film?
I really did not like The Purge one, the first Purge.
Yeah, I was bored.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I thought, the premise sounded great, but it just didn't.
And it has Cersei Lannister in it.
Yeah.
I was like, Cersei.
Get her. Finally, you know. Payback time. Yeah, I'm not going to bother with the second one.
The second one's actually amazing.
Oh, okay. All right.
I've got both of them at home, and after I watched the first one, I was like, I don't want to sit through another crap movie.
I know. It started so well, didn't it? I mean, really, it could have been... it could have almost been French, you know, French Extreme, but it just lost its power.
I think it lost me at the bit where it's like, oh, here's the poor black man, and now he's the one on
yeah,
offer.
Yeah, that was awkward. Like, that was awkward.
Thank you, privileged white people.
It's stereotypical. You know? Now, of course, Savannah, how can people get in touch? I mean, do you have to obviously be a Swinburne member? How can people do that?
There's a Swinburne website. It's my SSAA, and there's a list of clubs on there. We're listed on there. You can go through there. It hay on there.
Yeah.
And we also have a Facebook page, which
I'll put that up too.
Horror Film Club, and you could probably just search that and could be easily find it. Mm. It has our logo as the cover photo. So that's
who did the logo? I love the hand, the red hand.
It was our secretary, Denim Swan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does our posters and stuff like that too. So that's the posters are displayed on the Facebook page. We haven't printed any out.
That's cool. I think it's going to take off. Do we know of any other unis that have a horror film club? Or are you the only one?
I think at the moment. I'm not sure. I haven't looked into it.
Interesting. What's going on with Swinburne? Mm. They've got a big gaming collective. It's a collective group of peoples.
Yeah.
Here on Sci-Fi. Well, we have to. Here on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Don't forget, if you want to go into the draw for the double passes to Armageddon Expo for this weekend, let us know. SMS us on 0427JOY949. Our phone, I was going to say Jerry. Oh my God, I miss him. Rest in peace, Jerry, wherever you are. 1300JOY949 and on air at joy.org.au. Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Claire Kramer and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on 94.9.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks.
On Saturday, October 18, make sure you head to Joy Sponsor Armageddon Expo to catch me, Sonia of Sci-Fi and Scream, for the first ever live version of our program's popular radio podcast, Geek Girls Speak, in front of a live audience. I will be hosting an exclusive all-female panel talking about all those geeky things we love and our experiences in pop culture, from pop conventions to video gaming and more. Join us for Geek Girls Speak live at Armageddon Expo Saturday, October 18 at 1:30 p.m. Head to joy.org.au/sci-fi and scream for more info.
Hi, my name's Dino Gorman, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
The people behind this game have been working on it for quite a while and approached me with this idea of they were creating a game in which the player would actually enter into the eerie, ominous world of a whole huge world that video games are heading into that I think will be fantastic for the audience. They'll be the stars of their own picture. It's always been our job as actors to make special effects really come alive. And in a sense, we're doing the same thing with games. Such a specific, cool, claustrophobic world that the idea of giving everybody the opportunity to come into that world and make some of those decisions and have that adventure, I dig it. And I think it's very immersive and really scary and also, in its odd way, very beautiful.
Samuels. I work for the company. It's about your mother. We think we may have found her, Amanda. Shut the book, Ripley.
Blue
Listen in to Sci-Fi and Squeam with
Dill Stick.
With Dill Adler.
Only on Joy 94.9.
Yes. Dylan, it's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn, my cue and everything. If you didn't get any of those references that we played just before, that little intro there, that was some excerpts from the one and only Alien Isolation, published by Sega from the team at Creative Assembly. And look, I think it's safe to say, and this is a total disclaimer, that with every Alien repurpose that has come out over the years, I think most fans, myself included, have come through with a raised eyebrow. However, Alien Isolation is very, very different. They definitely kept it in Ridley's vision. Everything, and not at all James Cameron's more action style vision, and blue everything, and everything has to be blue. Definitely with Ridley Scott's more grimy. When you think of like the opening scene in Alien, or like when they're on the Nostromus with Sigourney Weaver and her crew, it has that same feel. People complaining about the corporation, you know, wages. You're introduced to Ripley's daughter, Amanda, who's now a woman. She's a grown woman. She's an engineer on a space station. And you're introduced to her at the point where they've come across the flight recorder from the Nostromus. And you find that it's on a ship, and that ship is docked at the Sevastopol space station. And on arrival, you're there with two others, and you're crossing over to the ship externally from, and you have to do like a spacewalk. This is all in the first film sequence. And the two people that you're crossing with, they get separated from you, and then they get flung out into space.
Oh.
And so Amanda Ripley is put into this situation by herself, and it is not an action game. This is not an action game. This is a survival horror video game. I have to say that the attention to detail, the graphics in this game, I nearly said film, it's on point, a whole new level.
I mean, I think that's the thing with games. I don't know about you, Savannah, but I don't play a lot of games, obviously. That's why I have you here, Dylan. But they seem to be becoming more and more cinematic, like more and more film wary, and you know, that awareness and the way they're created, it's becoming more narrative. So,
oh, totally immersive. You know. And if you recognize one of the voices in the beginning of that little promo for this segment, that was Sigourney Weaver talking about coming on and being a part of the game, because there's a DLC that's involved where the original cast from Alien is reunited. And Sigourney Weaver had been approached by several other video game installments from the Alien series, which she said no to, because it didn't interest her. It wasn't in the same likeness of the universe that she was in with Ripley. Right. However, this one, it focused on such a smallly noted character in the film, Amanda Ripley. However, it's such a massive story. You know, and it definitely sells you the dream of the abandonment. You know, where did this person's mother go? Like, you can see that struggle that Amanda would have gone through. She and she's a strong female character, which is so it's been long awaited for in video games. The cool thing that I loved about this game is the Xenomorph's AI. It is totally unscripted. This thing will find you, and after each encounter, certain protocols from the AI are unlocked, so it gets smarter. It gives the appearance that it's learning. Like, if you have set off say for example, if there's an airlock opened, it will look for who opened the airlock after a while.
Okay.
There's not a lot that you can, because you can't kill the Xenomorph either. You can have you have weapons, you have a pistol, you have Molotovs. The most you can do is just get it angry, and it'll like back away, giving you enough time to go and hide. Sometimes you'll have to, a button will pop up, and you'll have to hold your breath, because this thing will find you. It will find you. And if you play like I play, I'm a bit of a run and gun. Survival horrors, while I love them, I'm pretty bad at them, because I'm just like, waste all the ammo now, just kill it until it's dead. You can't kill this thing. It kills you. You'll die a lot.
Why can't you kill it? Why? Won't it allow you?
It won't. It won't allow you. It's a central. Oh. It's a central character because you. Given the idea, if anyone hasn't played the game, this might be a spoiler alert. It gives you the idea that there's only one. There's only one of these xenomorphs. That's a thing.
All right. I'm thinking eggs already.
Populating. I just want to move over to like the praise that I think this game should be recognized with. The attention to detail is insane. It is insane. The push pull system that they have with the buttons.
Has taken a while to make. Like I remember seeing the first sort of teaser trailers, which they have now for games. Obviously, like they do for fantasy fiction as well. It's
and
like
concept think, art.
I'm seeing a film, but you're not. And I saw the teaser trailers over a year ago now, 18 months almost.
I remember when the first concept art.
It's been
came
a while
out.
Coming.
It has.
Does it take this long to make a game like this? Of this sort of
I think
detail?
Going into something like Alien, it should. Alien is a series. To be a respectable game, I mean, look at every other Alien game that has come out, which hasn't been that great because I don't think that the franchise was truly respected. Whereas this, you can tell that the development team have a strong love and care for this, for the series, for the franchise, for Ripley, what Ridley Scott, Giga, and James Cameron believed in, and why they signed on to make a film of like of
and
this
rest
caliber.
In peace, H.R. Giga. It's sad.
Absolutely.
He's gone. And Dan Bannon's gone. Dan O'Bannon's gone. It's like amazing.
There's a lot of love, strong love for what those films brought out, what they did to people as well. The opening part of the game, it gives you that VHS, that old scratchy flicker on the screen well.
Because it would have been, I would say probably Alien and Aliens. I don't know about you guys, but I would say for VHS, it must have been one of the most popular movies in the 80s to watch again and again. I remember as
80s,
a kid
90s.
Watching it again and again. Savannah, what do you think of the franchise of Alien?
I unfortunately haven't seen any of them. I've been
my lordy.
I know. I've been saving it for like a rainy day or something. And
need
just
a rainy month.
Just sit down and watch all of them.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, then
they're worth it.
I would highly recommend sitting down, watching the series, and then jumping on and playing Alien Isolation in between Alien and Aliens because it's set 15 years after the first game and about four decades before the Aliens. And I just want to move on to some of the cons that I found with the game. I actually felt sometimes a little bit bored running through because what they take away from what they I guess take out of it in the movies is that when you have to go around and look for different parts. Or run away from the xenomorph, or you hear something and you're like, oh no, that's just a sound effect. I found that at times was boring. There were certain bits of the game I was like, okay, cool, this could... Can something happen? Like, you don't actually encounter the xenomorph for an hour.
And so, did you play this with the lights off?
No.
Why, you big chicken?
Because I am a big chicken. You know me. I'm scared of my own shadow.
I've got that little picture of the David Bowie. There's a David Bowie spider. Did you know that, Savannah?
No, I didn't.
There
I
is
nearly
a spider.
Ralph. She showed me a photo of it and I nearly vomited.
Named and dedicated and tribute to the wonderful Bowie. And yes, Heteropoda David Bowie, it's called. And it's a gorgeous little orangey, yellowy thing. And you hated it.
I thought it was disgusting. And then you told me it spits. I was like, no way. Last con with the process was installing it on the PS4 took a bit of time and there were issues installing it. But other than that, I think it's a fairly solid game. I wouldn't say it's the best game that I've ever played. However, it's definitely the best Alien game that I've played, second only probably to Alien 3 on the Super Nintendo. But that's more nostalgic purposes for my own childhood. I'm giving it 8.5 out of 10. And we had a lovely person message in, Brooke, saying that she played Alien Isolation on the PS4. It's really tense and scary. Great graphics, great female protagonist, and very faithful to the first movie. It feels like a stealth-based BioShock in space.
Nice. Good. Hey. Oh, all right. It could be the spider legs.
Oh, my God,
legs.
Don't even say that.
Very spider legs that you swallow there.
Or could
there.
Be a face hugger. You just don't know.
Face huggers. Oh, I've seen some face hug pajamas, face hug hats. I mean, the face hugger would be iconic now.
I saw a face hugger dummy. For a baby.
Oh,
I was like, oh my
pacifier?
God. Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet. No, that is gorgeous. And that's what we like to see. I like my science fiction to have some horror because, quite frankly, science fiction is pretty horrific. If you think about it, scientists messing around with things, you know, things always go wrong, according to some. Things go bad. And why not have that wonderful combination, science and horror together? And I think the Alien franchise, you know, wouldn't have happened without the horror element. And, of course, it had John Carpenter involved and O'Bannon. And they, you know, started off doing Last House on the Left and other horror films, which I can't think of. Wes Craven, that's the other fellow. So, yeah, huge influence there. Like it or not.
Look, I think Alien Isolation is definitely a game that people should get behind. And not just because of nostalgic
purposes.
When's
the next one coming out? Do we know? I mean, it's bound to be more.
Well, look, without giving away too much, the ending did conclude that it did leave a door open.
Mm-hmm.
It did. Not going to say that it didn't. It definitely gave us something for you. Ooh. But I'm the next game on my list after Alien Isolation, it just came out today. Talking about Evil Within. It is the third-person perspective survival horror from the father of survival horror video games, Shinji Mikami. Shinji Mikami was behind Resident Evil Dino Crisis.
Oh, right. Do you know Resident Evil was going to be a TV series?
Sonia, I don't like that sentence, and I'd like you to take that back now, thank you. Unless it was done well. Unless it was done very,
like
very
Game of Thrones or something.
Game of Thrones, or very, like, if Shinji Mikami or anyone from Capcom that was part of, like, the original Resident Evil series, like, those games were terrifying. I remember playing them when I was younger, and I legit wet the bed after play. That scene
bed-wetting.
In number
only
two,
on Sci-Fi
only
and
on
Scream.
Sci-Fi and Scream. No, I was terrified of that scene in the second game where the liquor just jumps down, like his tongue's hanging out when you like go down to the basement, the Raccoon City Police Department. Mm. No, that left some scarring, mental scarring.
Wow, obviously. Well, thank you so much, Dillstick, for your input. I want to hear more about the evil. What is it?
Evil Within.
And play it next time when you come on.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to dissect it, cut it up, just like you would a Hirapada, David Bowie. No, you wouldn't do that because it's a protected species.
I would
species.
Scream and run if
and
I saw
he's
that
a
thing.
Protected species, and we'll have more of that shortly. You're listening to Dylan, Savannah, and Sonia here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, only on Joy 94.
Hi, this is Gail Simone, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
I'm just not as bad. I mean, not as good as you. Obviously, talents. You're so talented. Now, okay, let's talk about the man, David Bowie. I went and saw this fabulous documentary today. It's more of an advertorial, I guess, for the Acme forthcoming part of their Melbourne Winter Masterpieces exhibition for next year. Yes, 2015 July is going to go off because David Bowie is coming. Now that is the name of the exhibition, David Bowie Is. That's it. And the movie to premiere here in Australia will be from Friday the 7th of November, very limited run, and that's called David Bowie Is as well. It's commissioned by the Victoria and Albert Museum, the V&A to other people, as it's known in London, and it's a doco showing the actual exhibition. So you go inside and you like a spider on the wall, I suppose. A Hirapada, a David Bowie spider. Nice little leggy thing. And it's commissioned by the V&A so people can get a good look of what's going to be on show in the exhibition. So yes, this is a little bit of a spruik for the fabulous exhibition, but oh boy, is it going to be fabulous indeed. The camera takes you through and looks at audiences, looks at people who are also going on this journey when they go to the exhibition, because we see a lot of English people looking at some of the costumes that Bowie used to wear, obviously, from Starman from 1972, Top of the Pops, to the outrageous Yamamoto outfits from, you know, from Studio 54 and from other stage events in Madison Square Square Garden where he performed back in, I think, 1975 or 76. We see these real live costumes, you know, not behind perspex, but actually on a stage and for people to go up quite close to look at. And you get a real sense of the audience that is being filmed also going on that journey. And as one woman who was interviewed said, one of the audience, she goes, "You know what? My marriage to David Bowie was stale, but then I came to this exhibition and the marriage is like a second, you know, like something Joan Collins would have done, a second or third marriage to the same person." Look, it's directed by Hamish Hamilton. He's a BAFTA-winning director. This, I think, will be very popular, even though it's on a very limited release. It's certainly a great companion piece to the exhibition, which will be coming here after it's been to San Paulo and various other places around the world. It's touring the world right now, so it has left the building, or it has left the V&A in London. Now, I'm looking forward to this, of course, and to find out more, all you need to do is go to acme.net.au/Bowie. We'll also obviously put more on our Facebook page. But, I mean, this man is just incredible, a chameleon. I mean, seriously, the guy, what hasn't he done? It is definitely good to revisit the White Duke, the Finn White Duke, and everything from The Goblin King, from Labyrinth, which no, is not going to be remade, people. That
Thank
was just a
goodness.
Online rumor that went berserk. It trended, everyone, it trended.
I got scared.
He got scared. We all got a bit scared, but not Fraggle Rocked. But look, the return of the Finn White Duke has never looked better. And you can see where Duncan Jones, his son, got the ideas to make fabulous films like Moon and so forth. So his fame is attested, definitely. And his ambiguous androgyny was the first of its kind. He's probably, I would say, the biggest pop culture icon that sings English, you know, in English, in the world. I mean, I don't know who else is a fan that's in the studio right now.
Sorry.
Sorry, Dylan. Are you paying attention? No.
I was totally paying attention. I was looking at our Sci-Fi and Screen
Are
Facebook
you a Bowie
page.
A Bowie person?
Of course. So I wish I could show you a photo of it right now. Actually, we have Bowie memorabilia all around my house. Like, we've Bowie in our kitchen. We've got Bowie quotes in our bathroom.
How do you mean? Like,
just like lyrics
on dusty walls or something?
No. Like, we've got, like, there's a big. My housemate has all the Bowie photos around her bedroom. I mean, and. It's hard to explain because there's so much that goes into that music and the legend and the icon. And who didn't grow up watching The Labyrinth?
Yeah, or The Hunger,
which
was done by Ridley Scott's brother, forgotten his name, may he rest in peace.
The other Scott.
Yeah, the other Scott.
Not
brother.
Ridley.
No.
Sad
that. But
I... There's nothing but love.
And The Man Who Fell to Earth, of course, is amazing. The Nicholas Roeg film. It's just... And they talk about that in the exhibition movie. But, of course, I love, you know, Space Oddity. They talk about the original video they play that of the Space Oddity song from 1969. And it's just out there and very low budget. Think Doctor Who, but even lower budget than that. And you might get an idea. And he's extraordinary, you know, the way he's reinvented himself so many times again and again. So,
and
look,
fun fact,
it.
That's not actually a contact lens that he wears.
No, it's
one
from
eyes.
A fight he was
yeah,
at.
Yeah, he was actually...
With one of his mates.
Yeah, and he got permanent eye damage.
But it's
Looks
served
cool.
him well.
Looks
it's
really cool.
Served
I mean,
him well. It makes him even more lizard-like.
Oh, yeah.
Serpent and spider-like.
I've got nothing but love for David Bowie. And even the music that has spawned on, the people that he's inspired that we all love.
Lady Gaga. It goes
okay,
on and
like
on.
I like that one.
Yep. Okay, no worries. No worries.
I'm not a good gay guy. I'm sorry.
You're not a gay guy, Gaga.
I'm not a Gaga gay guy.
Oh, well. Look, head on to our Facebook page and we'll have more and all of that, and we'll get in. Yeah, check it out. It's coming July. Well, the movie's November 7th, but the exhibition will be in Melbourne for the Winter Master Series for Acme, July 2015. It's worth the wait.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
On Saturday, October 18, make sure you head to Joy Sponsor Armageddon Expo to catch me, Sonia of Sci-Fi and Scream, for the first ever live version of our program's popular radio podcast, Geek Girls Speak, in front of a live audience. I will be hosting an exclusive all-female panel talking about all those geeky things we love and our experiences in pop culture, from pop conventions to video gaming and more. Join us for Geek Girls Speak live at Armageddon Expo Saturday, October 18 at 1:30 p.m. Head to joy.org.au/sci-fi and scream for more info.
Armageddon Expo, the Comic-Con event of 2014. Get close to international TV, movie, animation and comic stars. See collectible and sci-fi displays, exhibitors, specials, with music, anime, a cosplay costume contest, gaming, plus the first ever Geek Girl Speak, all-female panel celebrating women in pop culture. Hosted by Joy 94.9's own Sonia of Sci-Fi and Scream. Joy sponsor, Armageddon Expo 2014. Melbourne Showgrounds, October 18 and 19. Tickets from tickettech.com.au or at the door.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.